But right now we're talking to some Toronto FC, and joining us on the line to do it, John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet TFC, on a bit of a roll here, John. They get a big point on the road in Atlanta, grinding out that tie. What's been the key, do you think, to Toronto FC's recent run? Is it as simple as health that they've gotten back some of these key players?
I think that's a big part of it. Guys like Chris Mavinga, I don't think you can sort of overstate his importance to the defense. I know he got the red card yesterday, but he was absolutely immense in quarterbacking that back line. And having a guy like Jozy Altidore back, someone who can really provide a physical presence up front and, you know, draw defenders away from Sebastian Giovinco, thus giving him a little bit more room to operate. I think having Jozy back has been a big key. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that getting the guys, their top players, and getting their first-line starters back has been a big reason for the turnaround. And well, I think just with this small run that they're on, I mean, with that comes confidence, and you can kind of see a little bit of their old swagger back. So, you know, combined, I think those two factors have really resulted in this, bit of a turnaround. Not quite a complete turnaround, that's still to come, but in recent weeks, they've been playing pretty well.
Well, they got 12 games left, and it's not too late, despite the fact it looks a little daunting, John, 6 points back with 12 to play. But, you know, just staying on that, you know, returning to health, getting the team back, and sometimes, you know, people are saying, TFC's finally going, what a surprise. I would be shocked if TFC doesn't make the playoffs, or at least, at the very least, doesn't make an enormous run to make the playoffs. Injuries are never an excuse. They should never be used as an excuse, but they are a reason. And that's a different thing. It's a different thing. And when the team gets healthy, and then, of course, the start of the year, and they're so close in the CONCACAF, and, you know, and it's not an excuse, but it is a reason. That distraction of the hangover in the early season is long gone, I believe. The injuries are back. John, I expect TFC to really step it up here. And I'll tell you what, there isn't a team in the MLS that wants to see Toronto sneak in that eighth spot, because that's the one team I don't want to play in the first round.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on paper, I would still argue they have the best team in the Major League Soccer. And it's, you know, getting, as I said, their best players back. The only one who's really missing now is Drew Moore, who's been out injured since April, but he's close to returning as well. He could be back next week against New York City FC. So, yeah, I think they're primed to make a run here. They're only 6 points back of New England and Montreal. They have, I think, 12 games left. 10 of those come against teams who are in a playoff sort of position as we speak. So it's not going to be easy. But, you know, with the kind of role that they're on right now, and again, I think they're playing with a little bit of the old swagger that they had last year, you certainly expect that they're going to make a push and you know, really make a run at qualifying for the playoffs. And you have to fully expect that they will. I mean, anything short of a playoff appearance, I think, would rightly be considered a major disappointment for this team.
And, John, you mentioned Chris Mavinga picking up the red card late in that match yesterday against Atlanta, set to miss the next game anyways. Possible that he'll miss more than that, or do you think it's just the one game?
It's a good question, Rob. I mean, you know, the league will certainly, I think, look at that, because it wasn't something minor that he did. I mean, the Atlanta defender got in his face, so no question that he antagonized Mavinga. But Mavinga, foolishly sort of put his hands up to Perez's face and shoved him away. Now, there's talk about how it kind of started when Atlanta's Almiron, another player, spat at Mavinga, and that's kind of what set him off. So, but you just can't put your hands on an opposing player in the face. He was quite rightly given a red card, and fully expect that the league's disciplinary committee will going to look at this, and they'll probably take a look at everything, you know, from the Almiron, whether he actually spat on him, to what Perez did, and look at all of that, not just, you know, Mavinga's acting or not, he deserves extra games or not. My sense is that it'll probably be just the one game he'll sit out.
We'll see. John Molinaro with us, chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet. Rob Wong, Roger Lajoie with you here, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. So Sebastian Giovinco scores a goal. Listen, and he was a big part of the success of the game last night. He has been a major part of this franchise's development the last couple of years and all that they have accomplished. However, you know, the decision remains, you know, John, the ultimate thing at his age and where he's at and everything else. Do they resign him? Is he part of the mix? And let me ask you part B to that. If TFC, let's say, does not make the playoffs, does that give them a quote-unquote excuse to maybe do a little reshaking here? Because I think most people think this team can still be good for a good long period of time. How important is it that they make the playoffs this year and kind of keep this going, and this party, Giovinco included, for another, at least another year or two?
Yeah, I mean, if God forbid they don't miss the player, they don't make the playoffs, I suspect that there will be some offseason moves, but I don't think it'll be a major overhaul. I suspect it'll just be some tinkering because of the bulk of the team is still, and the core guys are still under contract. You know, Giovinco, Alcidor, Bradley will still be all under terms next year, and they're not going to let them go. So it'll just be some minor tweaking if they don't make it in the playoffs. I don't think, you know, considering the team's history, you know, before Bezbachenko got here, with all the player turnover and the coaching turnover, they've really settled down into this sort of culture of, you know, stability and continuity. So I suspect there will be some changes in the offseason, but nothing major. As to Giovinco's future, fully expect him to re-sign. You know, he'll have to take a pay cut, and there won't probably be a long-term deal, a five-year deal like it was last time, maybe 2 or 3 years, but you know, I get the sense from talking to him and everything that he says to privately to staff members and team officials that he wants to stay in Toronto. He's very fond of the city. Him and his young family have firmly made a home here. And I think he just wants to remain in the city. I mean, it's a different sort of lifestyle for him, whereas, you know, he was playing back in Italy, then he'd get mobbed wherever he goes. And I think he just sort of likes the way of life and the pace of life here, and he's done quite well for himself. So I wouldn't be at all terribly surprised if TFC, you know, after next year manages to sign him to an extension.
So speaking of the future and contracts that need to be signed, everybody's hoping, of course, that Jonathan Osorio remains with this team moving forward. And it's been such a great run for him the last couple of years, John, to get to this point where he is a key member on this team, one of the best Canadians playing right now. What do you think was the turning point for him that, you know, has allowed him to become such an integral part of this franchise?
Well, last year, I think it was around the summer, or might have been the spring, former Canadian national team coach, Octavio Zambrano, really challenged him. He wanted John to sort of become more of a well-rounded player and really sort of develop the defensive side of his game and become more of a two-way player. And at the same time, Greg Vanney kind of did the same thing. It really challenged him to what Zambrano kind of put in front of him, just to add more defensive elements to his game. And he took to it, and he really sort of, you know, bought into what they were selling. And, you know, since then, I think he's been TFC's best player. I mean, whereas he used to snatch at scoring chances, and whenever he was in front of goal, you thought, well, he's going to screw it up somehow because he wasn't a composed finisher. Now, every time he gets in front of goal, you get the sense that he's going to score. And he's just been dynamite. There's been a level of consistency there that, I don't think wasn't always necessarily there. He's playing with a great deal of confidence. I think he's grown up a little bit, too, and he'll tell you himself. He has sort of matured, especially off the field. And I think all of that combined has just led to this brilliant run of form. And he's been, as I said, since the second half of last season, I think he's been TFC's best player. And, you know, as much as TFC has struggled this year, you hate to think where they would be without Osorio, because he's just been, you know, miles and head and shoulders better than any player on the team this season.
No doubt about it. And a big a part of this. So, John, let's you know, the math again, it depends on how you look at it. The Eastern Conference is better this year. There are some teams. Montreal is going to be a tough one, New England there, but 6 points back, 12 games to play. When you kind of do the math, what do you think it's going to take from TFC? Getting a point in Atlanta, I think, is good, because you want the three every night when you're this far back of a playoff spot. But how many points do you think they need to garner in those 12 games to realistically get that playoff berth?
I figure they're probably going to need like 6 or 7 wins out of whatever it is, the 12. They can't really afford to drop too many more points. And again, a lot of the games that are coming up for them are against sides that are already in you know, 1 through 6 in those playoff spots. So it's a tough run, no doubt about it. And, you know, next week is going to be a tough contest against New York City FC, who are, you know, second place in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, just looking at the you know, the 12 games ahead of them, I really think they've got to win at least 6 of those in 7 and, you know, drop and only lose 1, maybe 2. So it's a bit of a task. But, again, with them kind of coming into form and getting so many guys back and them returning almost to full fitness, you have to like their chances. The other thing, too, is teams like that are ahead of them, like Chicago and Orlando, are in Philadelphia, are kind of trending in the wrong direction at the moment. You really, you know, they're playing poor soccer and they've, you know, been had a much more substantial lead over TFC, and that's been dwindled down to nothing. So I think that's going in TFC's favor. While TFC has a little bit of momentum, again, teams like Orlando and Chicago are sort of going in the other direction. So that could be to their benefit as well.
Looking at the other Canadian teams, John, vying for playoff spots, Montreal hanging on, of course, there in the East. And then you've got Vancouver currently on the outside looking in, very similar to what TFC did yesterday. They come back to pick up a point against New York City. What do you think about those two teams and their prospects as far as making the playoffs this year?
Well, Montreal, it's, you know, if you had asked me at the start of the season, the first few months, I would have thought they would have been the sure candidate to finish last or second last in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they were terrible. Granted, they had a lot of injury issues, but even still, I mean, you just thought there's not much there. But they've really sort of turned it around since the beginning of the summer. And they're, you know, talking about teams trending in the right direction. I think they're trending in absolutely the right direction. And they don't have the benefit of playing in, you know, 2 more games in the Canadian Championship final. They were eliminated in the previous round from Vancouver, so that's off their plate. So, yeah, I think if they can kind of continue to do what they're doing, and if Ignacio Piatti, the Argentine midfielder, who I think is, you know, probably one of the best players in the league, and certainly one of the most entertaining players to watch, if he can continue to do what he's doing and they can get more balanced scoring, then you have to like Montreal's chances of, you know, holding down that 5th or 6th spot in the Eastern Conference. Vancouver's in, I would suggest, a bit of a tougher spot because I think the Western Conference is very competitive, and there's a level of inconsistency there with Vancouver. You know, they're great 1 week, and then the next week, not so great. And they just can't seem to put together a string of positive results. You're never quite sure which Whitecaps side you're going to get. You know, maybe they get a bump, you know, in momentum with Alphonso Davies because he's going to be gone at the end of the year. So, you know, you got to figure that Coach Carl Robinson is just going to unleash him and really give him a lot of playing time, and they can certainly benefit from that. But it's a tough task ahead of Vancouver. And defensively, I think they've been pretty suspect this year. They give up a lot of goals, as we saw yesterday. So they might scrape in, but it's not going to be easy for the Whitecaps.
Now, presuming the TFC does scrape in, John, Atlanta is obviously the conference leader, and we saw him yesterday. But New York City Football Club, the Red Bulls are excellent as well. And I'll leave it at that, even though Columbus, Montreal, you already talked about, New England. But, you know, they're going to eventually have to play, not eventually, but out of the get-go, if they just get that 6th spot, play one of the top three. Is there a preferred top three, or back to what you said earlier, you still think TFC is the best team in the conference, but is there something about the matchups with any of those three teams that would be of benefit for TFC, or one of the teams that maybe you think, yeah, you know, I'd like to avoid them if possible?
Well, obviously, you know, they would certainly avoid, you know, Atlanta and New York City FC in the first round, which is good because I don't think you want to play them right out of the gate. You know, sort of want to ease into the playoffs. But no, I mean, of the remaining sides, I mean, Red Bulls always give them a tough game, as we saw last year in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe that's the one team that, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily they want to avoid, but they wouldn't be terribly disappointed if they didn't play them in the first round. Because Red Bulls play them tough. They play that sort of pressing style and really put, you know, pressure on TFC's, you know, ball when TFC's in possession. That's kind of caused problems for Toronto in the past. So possibly that's the one team that, you know, they might not be fond of playing. But other than that, I mean, when you look at the rest of the group, teams like New England and Columbus, Montreal, I don't think Toronto would really care all that much. I think they would like their chances in a one-game playoff against any of those sides.
Well, we'll see what happens for all of those teams, but we're all focused on Toronto FC just to see what happens with them the rest of the way. John, thanks for this. We always appreciate the time.
No problem, guys.